that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. So at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, harp, and lyre in symphony with all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshipped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom we have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my God or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, and lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression of his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. He rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselor, Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, True, O king. Look, he answered, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hot, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth from the midst of the fire. And the satraps and administrators, governors, the king's counselors gathered together. And they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not seen, nor were their garments affected. The smell of fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language who speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Let us pray. Father, we thank you because forever and ever you are the same God. You change yet not. The God of all circumstances. The God that does what no man can do. Lord, we have come into your presence this morning. It's time to hear your word. I ask in the name of the Lord Jesus that your word will come expressly to every one of us in the mighty name of Jesus. That your spirit will speak to us in the name of Jesus. We come against every form of distraction. We come against whatever is not of you. Whatever we want to occupy the minds of your people, that they will not pay attention to that which you have for every one of us today, Lord. We judge that spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you to take full preeminence over this message in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, precious Father. Lord, I remain a vessel in your hand. Do what only you can do and take all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's have our seats. Every Christian will at some point reach a crossroad of faith when he or she has to take a stand, even at the risk of great personal loss. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced such a moment. They were given one simple choice: bow or die. There will be no bargaining, no compromise, no meeting halfway. Nebuchadnezzar ordered them to bow to his idol or be reduced to ashes. They chose the furnace. What will be your choice? Will you still maintain your faith in the midst of threat of death? Praise the Lord. Our topic today is unshakable faith. Unshakable faith. Faith is complete trust in someone or something. Strong belief, loyalty. Unshakable faith is strong belief in God that cannot be stopped, or loyalty to God that is impossible to stop or prevent by any circumstance. This message is divided into four segments. The first is a test of faith. The second is a resolve of faith. The third is a triumph of faith. And the fourth is a result of faith. Now, if you look at verse 1 to 6, you will see the test of faith posed before these three men. In fact, very terrifying if you look at the combination of all the things that were there before them. The image of gold, the gold with its beauty and glittering appearance, very attractive and enticing. The size of the image, very intimidating, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. The personality of the king, Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, the caliber of the persons gathered, the decree of the king without exception, that everyone must fall down and worship the gold image, the voice of the herald that called, the lure of the sophisticated music with diverse instrumentation, the penalty for offenders, a burning fiery furnace, bow or burn, the accusation of the Chaldees. These all these things these men face. And their faith was being tested. They had to take one decision, either to bow or to burn. Praise the Lord. And on a daily basis, we have the test that is before us as children of God. Challenges are always before us. This very one takes this perspective. There are other times offers may be given to make a choice. And in this regard, the decree that was made was that has to do with worship. Who should be worshipped? The idol that the king made, he commanded everyone to worship. He gathered all the personalities. Imagine the atmosphere where all the dignities, all the heads of the states and everybody gathered. Those that matter gathered. And one decree from the king that everyone must bow. If you don't bow, you were born to arches. This face, these three men, and they have to make the resolve of their faith. If you look at verse 7, down to 13, 14, 15, 16, every other official bow, but they refuse to bow. They defy the king's decree. They were given one more chance. You know, the king called him. He did not want just to take the information he got at that level. He called them in verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true? What I heard, is it true? Is it true?" And of course, they said, "We have no need to answer you in this matter. We do not serve your gods. We will not worship the gold image which you have set up." Can you imagine the enormous pressure on them? At this point, you know, the first time when they decided not to bow, probably, you know, they were in a particular corner. The king did not see them, but now they have been brought to the limelight because of their decision. And all eyes were on them. They were before the king. The furnace was burning at one corner. The music, all those that were playing were there. All the competitors, those who have brought them out, were all around there. And they were before this. Should we bow? Probably in their minds, so many things were going on. And one of them would be, everybody has bowed. Even those that matter, they have all bowed. It's common. It's what everybody is doing. Should we die for nothing? Awesome. We say, we are in a foreign land. We can just do it. And after this moment, we can continue. We can go and confess and repent, and God will accept us back. Is it not just how many minutes just to bow and we are free? Should we die? What are we going to gain if we die? All these things were in the mind. But you know what? There is hope that we will not bow. We will not bow. We will not serve your gods. The implication of the first statement they made there is that we will not serve your God, meaning your gods, meaning that it was not just this very moment. They have made up their mind. As Hebrews, Jews, they have made up their mind, knowing fully well God's command to them, you must not bow to any other god. That has been their practice. And that's what they told the king, we do not serve your God. And for this image that you have made, we will not bow. It was actually a test for them to compromise their faith. And daily, on a daily basis, there are many things that come our way that are trying to make us to compromise our faith. The question is, are you compromising your faith? Are you joining the multitude to sin? You know, there are so many persons in that probably. It's possible that there were other Jews there who saw the crowd and just commonized. After all, there's no difference. It's a common thing we are doing here. And after today, everybody will just go on their own and they must have bowed. But this man decided, we will not bow. The resolve was to serve the living God. Him only. What is your resolve? What have you made up your mind that you will do in the face of difficulties? When there are things that will challenge your faith, what have you decided that you will do? Are you the type that anything goes? Once you are afraid, you just fall. We are talking about unshakable faith. Faith that is ready to die even in the midst of threat, in the midst of danger. In fact, if you look at the little verses that we read, the king said that these men have offered their bodies. We are talking about faith. You don't mind what you will suffer. You don't mind the pain that you will go through. But your goal is to please the Almighty God. So they made up their mind, we will not serve your God. And they knew the implication. It was not something behind indication behind the house or somewhere hidden. Right there, they heard the king when he said, hit the fire. How many more times? 7 times. Of course, that fire is always there. That fire is a god of, you know, in Babylon, they had so many gods. One of the gods is Isba, is the god of fire. And to them, there are things that once they surrender to that god, there's no one that comes out. He must burn to ashes. And so the king was so confident, just hit up the fire, and these small boys who think they have something, who think they have a god somewhere, let me see where this god will deliver you from my own god, Isba, the god of fire. Despite all this threat, they were resolved. They were determined. Yeah, like the psalmist would say, my heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. Is your heart fixed that it is only God you will serve? Is your heart fixed that you will not compromise your faith in the midst of temptations, in the midst of challenges, in the midst of the sufferings, the pains, in the time that we are in, there are political issues that can make people to compromise their faith. There are economic issues, there are hard times. I'm making people, making believers to dip their hands into things that they should not do. Will you be like these three men who resolve in their heart, we will not bow. We will not bow. What is your resolve today? Now, if you go to verse 23 down, you see the triumph of faith. Everything was done to make sure that the three Hebrew men were quickly and completely burnt. Faith will always triumph at the end. Hallelujah. When you take a step for God, God himself will show up. And mind you, always know that sometimes God may not show up because he's sovereign. He may want to do what he wants to do. That's why when they were asking the king, you know, they gave the king two answers. The first shot is that our God is able to do what? To deliver us. And he went ahead to let the king know, even if he does not show up as we expect him to show, we are confident that he has all that it takes to deliver us. But if he does not show up, as far as we are concerned, we remain in our resolve. We are not missing words. This is our stand. This is where we die. God Almighty is our God. But when they took this step, of course, they were thrown into the fire. Hallelujah. And as they were thrown into the fire, God stepped in. That's the triumph of their faith. It's obvious, as they were taking their stand before the king and the people, God was watching from heaven. And I know at the time it's possible, as God sitting upon the throne, he stood. As he saw the men thrown into the fire, he stood. Yes, these men are representing me. These are my children. They are making me proud. As he threw them in, he appeared in the midst of the fire. Praise the Lord. One thing you must be sure of is that no matter what, as you take your stand, you may be alone. Just like these three men were alone. But God will not leave you alone. Praise the Lord. God will not abandon his own. He appeared in the midst of the fire. And the king said, I'm seeing something. I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. They are not hot. The form of the fourth is like the Son of God. The fire only burnt the rope that were used to tie them. And these men were free. Hallelujah. In the midst of the fire. Their clothes were intact. In fact, if you look at those verses, around that verse, you know, 26, 27, 28, you will see that the king recognized this man this time around. See, Chedra, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of what? Of the Most High God. He's beginning to see clearly now that these men, they are servants of the Most High God. And all the satraps, the administrators, the treasurers, all of them came. They came to look at the men whose bodies the fire had no power. Because for the first time in their history, a power has defied the power of the God of fire. Nebuchadnezzar was such a fierce man that at a point, depending on the gravity of your offense, you are thrown into the fire and nobody comes out alive. So when they heard that people are walking in the midst of fire and there's a strange one in their midst, everybody came out. He asked them to come out of the fire and they came out. I said, oh, everybody was looking, trying to be sure. Are these the actual men we threw into the fire? So they saw the men on whose body fire had no power. That's victorious. The men that even the hair of their head, there was nothing. You know the hair is very sensitive to fire. Then just a close range to fire before you know it starts melting and all that. But even their garments were not affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Praise the Lord. The assurance we have is that God promised us. If you read the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, thereabout, he said, when we go through the fire, what did he say he will do? He will be with us. He will be with us. He has assured us. And so that's the assurance we have. That's the victory we have in Christ Jesus. And that's the reason that you know that you always triumph as you maintain your faith, as you hold on to your integrity. God is not ready to stand with cowards. God is not ready to stand with those who are not serious. God wants people that will take a stand and is ready at any time to stand with you and to bring you out victoriously. Praise Master Jesus. Now what happened? The result of faith in verse 28. The Bible says, where we read that Nebuchadnezzar spoke saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. He began to praise the Almighty God. He gave him glory. He saw that the God is indeed the God of the Hebrews. See, the God, he began to refer to it, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, he sent his angel. Remember what he said in that place? He was talking about his God consistently. He sent his angel to deliver his children. He delivered his servants. Talking about the power of God to deliver. He said that this God is worthy of trust. Because he said, this servant who trusted in him, he delivered them. And he said that these men who yielded their lives, he recognized the fact that those who fully surrender their lives to the Most High God, God is ever ready to deliver them. And what happened? What happened at the end? The same man who pronounced their death, the same man who threw them into the fire, the same mouth that pronounced their death, the same mouth pronounced their lifting up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the same province that they were tried, the Bible tells us that then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. They were promoted because they stood their faith. There's always a result. There are two things about it. Paul, as he was concluding his ministry, he said, I have fought a good fight. There awaits me the crown of glory. There are two sides to this unshakable faith. As we stand here on the earth and maintain our integrity and faith in the Lord Jesus, and not allow any compromise to come our way, not falling, not allowing the pressure around us to overwhelm us. In this present world, we will be rewarded. In this present world, it will bring glory to God. I know from that day, because it was a national gathering, everyone went home with a new orientation. See, there is a God in this land, the Most High God, he can deliver from fire. Everybody went home with a testimony of what God did. And from that day, anyone that we see them, we make reference to their God. They were promoted and they were lifted. The time these Hebrew boys, you Hebrew men lived, is similar to our days. There are many challenges to our faith. Even in the workplace, there are temptations. I remember a brother was sharing a testimony in the place of work. One of the persons in charge of finance called him. He said, see this thing we are selling. We can decide to be keeping some amount of the money to ourselves and nobody will know. Can just do that. That's a test of your faith. What are you going to say? When nobody sees, what will you do? Just like these men were in the same land. They were not at home. Honestly, we have said, okay, we are here now. We can do whatever we like here, and nobody will know. So persons think like that, forgetting their identity as children of God. Just like we have young people here. You are in the university. Your parents are not here. I remember a story that was told of one of the girls. When she has special clothes she will wear in the school year. When it's time to go home, she will package herself and appear at home like a saint. But when she comes here, she lives the life, the kind of life that she wants to live. That's compromise of your faith. You can't call that one unshakable faith. Oh, you have come to school. You came as a Christian. Now you want to join them. There are so many enticements. You know? The courtiers are trying to recruit their own. All the wayward boys and girls, they are recruiting their own. All the firms are recruiting their own. Will you join them to compromise your faith? Everybody is doing it. Is that the right thing to do? If you join them, that's a compromise of your faith. All those, even in our country, political atmosphere, there are still laws that are against the faith that we practice. There are laws that have been made against Christianity. You're also aware in the recent times and in the past of brethren in the north that were captured. As they affirmed to their faith, they were killed. And God is still in heaven. That's why I talk about the sovereignty of God. He can decide that in that case, you die to give him glory. He can decide that he will bring you up. What will you do when you are faced with tension? You know, sometimes, just as we're on the level ground now and we are relaxed, it will be easy to say that I will follow Jesus. I will follow Jesus. But when there's actually tension, that's where your real faith, your resolve will show. If you really mean it, it will show. How will you feel? What will you say? What will you do? So the society we belong to is polluted. So many evil. The get-rich-quick syndrome. Some persons have been raised. Christians have been raised. Because the times are hard, you want to involve yourself in things that will compromise, that will incriminate you. And you say you are a Christian? That's not a shakeable faith. And the devil is offering so many things to entice people. To entice believers so that you can sell your faith. Like in the case of this young man, what the devil wanted was just to take their faith from them so that they can be like every other person, become normal. What will be your decision? Who is under pressure here? Have you denied your faith? Who is under pressure? Maybe that boy is pressuring you. Ah, you must have sex with me. You know, it's a rainy thing. So many persons, you come to church on Sunday and cover up. During the week, you are a different thing entirely. Where is your faith? How can we differentiate a genuine child of God from the ordinary person? If not, that you will take a stand. When everybody is doing it, you say, I will not. I am a child of God. I belong to God. I will not join them. Or in examination of my practice, where everybody is copying, will you join them to copy? Will you keep your Bible under this and hide it? I say, after that, I will go and confess. Like some people will do. After I have done it, I will go and confess. But God is saying you. That will not bring honor to God if that's your lifestyle. All the elders that we have, are we, is our life an example of people of unshakable faith? Do we still hold on to our integrity? Have we compromised our faith? God is calling us to the point of absolute resolve. God is calling every one of us. The Hebrew men, they have lived their lives. We are the one on the earth now. And the challenges they face may not be exactly the one that we'll face in our time. May not be exactly. What is that which you are passing through? Sometimes the pains that you are having may be the issue that will threaten your faith. What you are passing through may be the issue. Will you join them with that suggestion? Let's go and see. There's somebody, this woman you are passing through, this thing that happened to you. There's someone who can go. Let's go and see. And your problem will be solved. Will you go? Even when you are dying, it looks as if you are dying. And it looks as if there's no help coming. Will you join them to go there? Where is your faith? Unshakable faith is an immovable faith. Like Job will say, even though he slay me, I will trust in him. That's it. It may be paining you, but you want to remain in God. Because you have made your allegiance to God. So this morning I call us to the point of resolve. If you want to join me to pray this prayer, I want you to stand on your feet. I will not bow, no matter the pressure. Let's stand on our feet this morning. I will not bow, no matter the pressure. I will not bow, no matter the pressure. There is pressure everywhere. You know, many people, they have already lost their faith because the goal there was for these men to deny their faith. Now, this earth we are in is a foreign land. This is not our home. But the way we live our life here, we determine where we will go to. How far we are going to go with the one that liveth forever. God is seeing every one of us. As they were taking their stand, God was seeing them. You can see that he appeared there to prove to them also that he has been with them. What will it look like if your own is that you have compromised your faith? What will happen to you? Where will be your faith? I want to close your eyes and think for a few seconds about your life. Just think a few seconds. If there's any way you have compromised your faith, it's time for you to come back. God is not interested in those who draw back. Just pray and ask the Lord to have mercy on you this morning. And begin to pray, Lord, help me. I know there are pressures here and there. I will not bow. Wherever you are, begin to pray and ask God to help you. Have they asked you to sign a check that you should not sign? And you are afraid to say no. These men were not, they were not afraid to say no. They were not afraid to say no. They said, this one does not comply with my faith, so I cannot sign it, O king. They gave the king the respect. They were not arrogant. Politely, they said, no, king, we will not bow. I don't know what it is to you that you are struggling with. How to ask God to help you this morning? Just ask him for help. Say, Father, help me, help me, help me. Don't pretend. Whatever it is that is the issue in your life, just ask God to help you. So I can retrace your step and ask God to help your faith. Help your faith. Father, thank you. We appreciate you, Lord. We give you all the glory. We worship you, Lord. Blessed be your name. Thank you, precious Father. Now you will begin to pray. You will take your resolve today. I don't know. If you are not ready, you can be quiet. But you take your resolve that God helping you, you will take your stand. Wherever you find yourself, you will take your stand for God. You will not compromise your faith. I want to begin to agree with God to help you. These young men, they made this resolve before they came to appear before the king. It was not just that day. Why don't you? Do you have a resolve already that you will not? God helping you. God granting you much grace. You will not compromise your faith. Say, Father, help me. Help me to hold on to my integrity. They were asking Job, will you still hold on to your integrity? They were asking Job, in the midst of the suffering, the pains that Job was going through, will you still hold on to your integrity? Will not just curse God and die? Say, Father, help me to hold on to my integrity. My faith will be unshakable. I will not be moved. Though he slay me, I will trust in him. Help me, precious Father. Thank you, King of glory. Blessed be your name. Worship and adore you because you are faithful. Take all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this privilege. Return all the glory and praise to you for that which you have done in our lives this morning. Father, we pray, O God. Our desire is that our faith will be faith that will stand the test of time. Help all our resolve today, Lord, to stand for you. To stand for what is right, the truth. To declare our integrity. To declare our stand to serve you and to worship you. That will not bow to any other God. Give us grace to maintain our stand in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers. Blessed be your name forever and ever. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Can I hear a living amen? Now put your hands together for Jesus. It's worthy of praise.
I will bless this morning. These are prayers that whatever resolution we have taken this moment, Lord will help us to stand by it or by them, as the case may be, in Jesus' name. Let's pray for God's servant. Just, Father, your help, pray for him. Virtue had gone out of him, that the Lord Almighty will refill him for further use. At any time he stands to declare the word of God, it will come with power to do the biddings of the Lord, to heal the sick, to set the captives free, to bring joy to the heart of those that are downcast, and to bring God glory. Father, we pray for your servant. Meet him at this point of need. More grace. Fill him for further use in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Quickly, we want to take our notices. There is something we need to do. What are all our students in the house? If you're a student in this house, please stand up. All our students. The Lord is about to release grace and anointing on some persons for what you have known how to do before. Out of the number that have stood up, if you know how to sing, can I see your hand up? Those who can sing, lift it above you. Don't be afraid. You can sing. You are in the choir at home. You just came to school now. Hallelujah. Now listen. At the end of this month is the university convocation. And our chapel was asked to bring 50 persons that will be ministering his song that day. Our sister church here, 50, also in 50. As we talk, we're having less than 20 that will represent us there. I don't know what that will tell Shaman of Council to go and place advert for people to come and join. Please come aside. Those of us who can sing, it's a privilege that you can sing and you are part of the people who will be in the convocation arena that day.